Okay. It's Friday morning after. You were just listening to Dub Sweden with their song I'm Not So Grumpy Anymore from the album Done With Loveless Days. And I am pleased to be joined on the phone this morning with Dr. John Murray Clearwater. Good morning.
Good morning.
You are the author of a new book that just came out in October, and it's available from here in Canada, at least, from the University of Calgary Press, and it's called Just Dummies, Cruise Missile Testing in Canada. Is that correct?
Yes, Just Dummies, Cruise Missile Testing in Canada. The name's odd, but it's actually a quote from the then Minister of National Defense, Gilles Lamontagne, who in 1982 was caught by the press right after a cabinet meeting where they were discussing whether the cruise missiles would have live nuclear weapons on board, and he came out very confused and flustered, and he went, well, they are just dummies. And it was unclear whether he was talking about his cabinet colleagues who didn't understand the testing or the warheads. So it made for a good tongue-in-cheek title.
Your biography reads like a book, so I was wondering if you could just give a minute, though, to it and just basically tell us your background and what you're doing now, writing books.
It's a bit strange because I introduce myself to people as a nuclear weapons specialist, and they don't often shake my hand after that. But I've written several books about nuclear weapons in Canada and the United States, and I've edited a journal on atomic weapons in down near Harvard. So I've done that kind of work, and I've done contract work for the government and such. But I like to write. I write a lot about atomic weapons, and I'm coming out with a new book in the spring on the world's first broken arrow. Took place in British Columbia in 1950, a few months before the world's second broken arrow, which took place in Quebec over the St. Lawrence River.
And you've also done some documentary work as well, is that correct?
Yes. About 2 years ago, we released Lost Nuke on Discovery Channel. So that was a great feather in the cap. But Just Dummies, I think, is very important to Canadians now to understand what's going on in the last 20 to 25 years and to put in perspective what's happening today. One of the things that I do mention in the book is that it's not just cruise missiles. Canadians have seen testing of all sorts of U.S. nuclear weapons systems in our country. A good Quebec example would be throughout the 1970s and 1980s, the U.S. Army was field testing in the cold weather at Nicolet Range neutron bomb artillery shells meant to be used in Central Europe. That's a good Quebec example of some of the testing that took place, whereas cruise missiles were mainly over the prairies in the far north.
And one of the things I was reading on the internet, and one of the things that caught my eye, people have called you an expert at Freedom of Information Act requests.
Well, most of this book is, I must thank those people and pay them, in fact. No. Most of this book is, in fact, taken from information released under Canada's Access to Information Act. I was not the primary requester. This material had been requested possibly by an academic and not used. And I then took that material. Now, there are no real good books about cruise missile testing in Canada or this nuclear weapons period of our politics and history. So everything had to be gleaned from original documents, and nothing was available because it was all too recent. I was very fortunate in that I got a lot of material about the tests themselves from the U.S. military. They were great. In some cases, I was getting documents from them in 10 days of making a request.
And so let me ask you a question, because a lot of people in the United States have been complaining that the U.S. is now classifying at a rate that's just unheard of. And so I'm wondering, is there a difference between the Canadians and the U.S. as far as, are the Canadians classifying more as well?
Yes, we are, but one of the things that's going on south of the border right now is that the U.S. has been reclassifying material that was previously open. So there have been hundreds of boxes at the U.S. National Archives removed from the open shelves and placed back in secure storage, not to be seen again. This is a bit odd because, of course, much of the material, especially in the nuclear weapons area, has been copied and distributed and even put online. Great collections have been made of it and sold around the world, especially by the National Security Archive in Washington at George Washington University. So it's a bit shooting oneself in the foot. It doesn't give one the impression that freedom reigns. The other problem is that things that used to be open from birth are now being considered a state secret in the U.S., and we're having that problem in Canada, especially with external affairs. D&D, it's getting tougher to get material, but external's particularly bad at this. So we're even seeing, in some cases, material that used to be open being reclassified and all references to it now becoming a secret. I had that problem just recently. Many documents that had been released, the names of those documents were rubbed out on other documents.
I had read a story on the internet regarding this new book, Just Dummies, Cruise Missile Testing in Canada, and it really caught my eye because the title of the story was Canada kept list of dissidents to haul up in case there was an emergency. That's not the exact title, but
right, the Canadian concentration camps.
Can you tell us a little bit about that? Sorry.
Well, this was something I came across. In its final version, it's not in the actual book. Several publishers told me at the time that I was shopping the book around that they would not consider printing the book with that material in it. They considered it so sensitive. What happened was I was going through the war book for Ontario, the Army in Ontario, which had been declassified, and it mentioned that the Army would be in charge of driving buses that they got from Voyager bus lines here in Ontario and Quebec to round up the dissidents and transport them to a place where the RCMP and Corrections Canada would take over and put them into prisons or camps. So I followed up with the RCMP headquarters here in Ottawa, and I said, I'd like to make an access to information request. And bless the hearts of the RCMP, they were absolutely wonderful. I got everything unsevered with the exception of the lists of who was to be imprisoned. Because every 6 months, from 1948 to 1984, the RCMP would update the list of who they would be arresting in every province and jurisdiction, if and when there was a national emergency. Most of these people in the early years were Communist Party members, but by the late 1960s, they were activists, anybody who could gather people around a political objective, mobilize them, as it were. They became more dangerous as the Communist Party died off in terms of its influence. So a great amount of material came out, and we have to see it in perspective. In World War I, we imprisoned Ukrainians. In World War II, we imprisoned the Japanese. In 1970, we were imprisoning many Quebecois with only tenuous relationship to the FLQ. So this plan is very Canadian, only this time it's not going to be an ethnic group, it's going to be people who are political, people who are seen as a danger to the Canadian political body.
Well, and we've seen in the U.S., at least in the past 2 years, that the Pentagon has been watching peaceful groups closely. And so is there any reason to believe that Canada doesn't do this anymore? Or?
Well, we can't be sure of that because in 1984, the trail on this goes a bit cold. At this point, RCMP responsibilities are transferred to the new CSIS, the Canadian Security Intelligence Service, and we have really no access to their records at all, whereas the RCMP was very good about giving access to the pre-1984 material. But I would point you to something that just happened in the U.S. this year. I believe it was in January of this year. The U.S. government signed a contract with Halliburton, Kellogg Brown Root, to build concentration camps if and when they were needed. And they get several million dollars for every year that they don't build a camp, and then a whole lot of money if they do actually have to build a camp. I'd like a contract like that, where I get several million dollars per year not to do something.
And I think that we saw it was something like $385 million.
It's quite a lot. I believe it's $20 to $50 million for every year that they don't build a camp, and then $200 million for actually building one, which seems like quite a lot for a camp, honestly.
Yeah.
So we have this south of the border. We have a trail that's cold because we can't access the records in Canada. We have this post-11 September hysteria in many ways, so it's very possible to imagine a situation where we're rounding up Muslims, for instance. It would be in line with our rounding up Ukrainians and then Japanese and Quebecois. We'd pick another ethnic, social, religious group.
All right. Can you just take a moment and just discuss the cruise missile testing in Canada and just kind of give us an overview of what happened about 25 years ago?
Well, that was a 10-year period that only ended in 1994. Very interesting. We go back to the late 70s, early 80s. The U.S. comes to us and says, Canada, specifically Pierre Trudeau, we want you to allow the testing of this new weapon we have. We need your help. Nobody will notice. People will think it's just an unpiloted aircraft. Little did they know, it was going to produce more protest than any other single issue in our history. More people gathered on Parliament Hill year after year for protests than for anything else. More people wrote to the Prime Minister, to the Minister of Defense, and the Secretary of State for External Affairs on this than on any other issue in our history. The Canadian government tries desperately to keep it secret, but the news finally breaks. Southam breaks the story because the U.S. Air Force announced it without telling Ottawa they were going to make it public. The testing eventually begins in 1984, a particularly dangerous year in the new Cold War. You've got a huge rearmament and nuclear weapons building program going on in the Reagan administration. Testing goes on every year for 10 years. As long as there's snow on the ground, cruise missiles are flying. What I find interesting is that the U.S. tried to test the advanced cruise missile in Canada, and Brian Mulroney, conservative that he was, friend of Reagan that he was, put it off for 3 years. He had to keep saying to Mulroney, he had to keep saying to Reagan, do not ask us this. The public will not put up with it. I will have to say no. But if you wait, eventually I can let it be tested. It doesn't, in fact, get tested until the very late Mulroney period, and the last one is tested during Jean Chrétien's first year in power. So this goes on for 10 years. The protest is enormous, and the whole thing is finally ended, not by the Liberals coming back to power in 93, but by the Pentagon deciding it no longer needs to do this in Canada. Remember, by this time, they had already fired hundreds of these towards Iraq. So it was no longer necessary. It was such an irritant that that's over. But the agreement that allowed it to happen is still in place and allows many other kinds of things to be tested every year in Canada. That's still alive and was renewed in 2003 for a further 15 years.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you about that because that relationship is perfectly fine right now, so we should expect that testing is still going on. Is that correct?
Testing of all things goes on. Every year in January, the United States military provides a forecast of the tests they expect to do for the next 30 months. And virtually all of these are okayed by Ottawa. So there's things going on right now of all kinds. In fact, the U.S. Air Force was even trying to test the B-2 stealth nuclear bomber in Canada. The Canadian government refuses to this day to comment on this at all, but the U.S. has openly said that they have requested Canadian approval to do so. So there's all sorts of things still hidden in the woodwork that we don't know about yet.
Okay. We're going to have to leave it there. You have a new book coming out in the spring. Can you give us a little bit of a hint about
what's... The new one is called Broken Arrow Number 1, and it's the story of the very first lost atomic bomb in world history, and it happened in British Columbia, right here in Canada.
Okay. So we'll look forward to that. Your latest book is called Just Dummies, Cruise Missile Testing in Canada. You can go to
any bookstore and ask for it.
Any bookstore and ask for it, and I think that everybody should do that, and we need to make sure that we understand history and as we relate to what's going on right now.
Thanks very much, and good morning, Montreal.
All right. Well, thank you very much, and good morning, Ottawa.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.